and the maze rises up around you. Dangerous. Tempting. A place of potential. Clearly belonging to someone powerful and wealthy, as this world measures wealth. But how does Mereth measure wealth? So new here and so unexposed to its dangers and its pleasures. And wanting to remain pure, valiant. Your body as yet unchanged by this place. But this place is a place of puzzles. Escaping might be difficult. Doing anything might be difficult. Because the walls around you are very thick and the gate has closed. Your attention turns, at that moment, to a nearby table on which rest a variety of glass jars, little bottles like potion bottles, among others. All of them contain something. Many of them contain liquids. And having a bare familiarity with the liquids that are so common here in Mereth, maybe you resolve to steer clear of those. Whatever it is that guides your hand, standing there in the middle of the estate, toward the bottle containing one of the piercings, the bottle that says, empty. You look inside. It's not empty. And your eyes have strayed from the bottle that says escape, figuring that maybe there's some key, some magical agency that will allow you to escape. Nimble fingers move toward the cork, not before you pause and inspect the jeweled piercing within. It seems to have a temptation all its own. It seems to draw the eye, tempt the hand. And it is an innocuous little thing. Maybe it would be interesting to have at your camp. Maybe you can sell it for some gems. But most importantly, maybe it's part of whatever puzzle will get you out of here. Your fingers move tentatively at the cork. It's rather difficult to pull out, but with an audible pop, it slides out of there. And just as you're about to upend the glass and tilt the small piercing into the palm of your hand, another hand darts out and grasps your wrist. Gently. Warm. Caressing. Perhaps she can't help it. Help but deliver a lover's touch. And as she pulls your hand away and deftly, politely takes the bottle, snapping the cork back in with a quick motion and placing it on the table, you step back. Perhaps at the ready to fight, perhaps at the ready to speak, but tensed, prepared to spring, and take in the figure before you. Baby, you need to be careful around here. Those earrings would have given you a fetish, particularly of just standing there being a passive object. It would have taken you a long time to even get to the gates, much less open them. In any event, this place tries to keep people here. It's dangerous like that. Sorry, but some things about the plants here really can't be changed. They all think they're Venus flytraps. Anyway, follow me. I'll walk you out. Might take a bit, though. And you do have time to take her in, then, as she turns around, placing the bottle back on the table. And walking toward the nearest brooch in the hedge maze, she explains, you gotta go in and through to get out. It's the only way this place will recognize you've obtained dominion over it. So, you get close to the castle, you come out a different exit, boom, you're free. Come on, I'll help out. Although you may be unsure whether or not to trust her, something about her presence is particularly alluring. After all, she didn't immediately try to attack you. That puts her leagues above a lot of the other creatures around here. And as she does walk toward the entrance, you take in her form. Today, although a form could be anything tomorrow in this place, she's wearing high leather boots and a simple, functional, extremely short skirt that basically shows off everything. She has pert, high, almost huge breasts. and the skirt hanging down as she turned around and faced away from you sways in a breeze you're not entirely sure exists. The smile, though, is fanged, sharp, clearly demonic. It took you a while to notice that. Maybe she took care to ensure. Now, first impressions are important, but don't let appearance influence your human prejudice. Come. And she crooks one finger. A pair of cute little horns on her forehead offset an otherwise keen and intent gaze. But she is welcoming you, and since presumably she could have attacked earlier, it appears she has no intent to do so. And if she's to be believed, she did save you from a, well, horrible fate from your perspective. Evading that is worth a little trust. So, you follow. Step after step into a maze with bright red flowers on the inner walls, eking out pheromonal pollen. She doesn't turn, just keeps walking, slowly enough that you can keep up, but quickly enough that she doesn't have any reason to turn and observe your aroused state. Maybe you're grateful for that. The arousal, after all, is, embarrassingly, beginning to manifest some physiological signs in your comfortable clothing. Pushing down this thought, and trying, perhaps successfully, perhaps unsuccessfully, to keep your eyes off the helpful figure's proceeding backside, you focus on just putting one foot in front of the other. Part of you tries to make a map, after all. If you decide to come back here and explore, it would be good to know your way around. There have seemed to be many inhabitants here. Even though you didn't see many of them, you certainly heard them. And knowing your way around might give you access to some secret or useful information. And so you follow. Right hand turning. Left hand. Unfortunately, she's moving with a kind of almost dancing gait. Springing from one place to the next. Laughing. She explains, "You won't be able to map this," as she hears you muttering under your breath. "It changes day to day. But you can learn. I mean, if you want that skill, you could have just asked. I'm honestly here to help. I know how hard that is to believe, so whether you follow me or not is up to you. But if you want to know how to get around, you just have to ask. This place is dangerous. And you really should know how to get around. How things work here. This estate is a core of magical power, a kind of life force runs through this place. Particularly nourishing to me. We can address the why of that later, but if you're here now, you really should know how to travel. After all, how'd you get here in the first place?" She turns and suddenly approaches. But it's a gentle approach, with her hands up as if to say, "Look, I'm not going to try anything." Indeed, you probably could strike her very clearly right now. Run away, escape, get out of this place. Ultimately, that would be rude, unkind to someone who is offering to rescue. You really shouldn't just wander into places like this. How did you get here again? And when you impart that you arrived by chance, by merely thinking that you wanted to explore, she tisks. But you can't wander around like that. You could end up anywhere. There are dangerous places out there. Merath used to simply be a peaceful, beautiful place, pockets of danger, monsters out there. But then humans sought power, and they became something else, and they warped the very nature of the land. Indeed, you think of the right place, you think of the right thing, and there you'll be. As I say, this place is tapped into a very particular kind of power. Something I can access. Something perhaps you cannot. But you should try. Because if you can, then escaping the maze is as simple as willing it so. Here, stay still. She extends her hands. One long, thin finger. Placed at either side of your head. Rubbing your temples gently. As if massaging your scalp. And then, gradually. The touch feels comforting, as if she were massaging more than just your temples, but rubbing the weariness from your bones, from your body, from your mind as well. It's a pleasant sensation, but you're more than canny enough to stay on your toes and evade it, right? Right. And as the sensation crowds up, you imagine, or perhaps the image is being transmitted helpfully, the grounds as a whole. The entrance, the fence, the stone walls surrounding the place. And she narrates, "Here you can see that everything is just a facade, that this place has looked different. And, like changing channels, or like turning the page in a picture book, the image shifts. You see it pink and consumed by lustful pheromones. Then you see it as a barren waste, an empty place where the house doesn't exist at all." Seraph continues, "This place is a thing of malleability. That's why I like to be here. Those who can change understand places that can change. But not all changes are beneficial. It's like you have to dance around the more dangerous incarnations of this place. Like you have to avoid the dangers. And the simplest way to dance around those dangers is to have a partner." Her nails rasp across your temples and the contact breaks. "Sadly, it was just as you began to detect the core of the place. A fulminating essence of magic waiting underneath." She explains, "I can normally tap that core at all times, but lately this place has been particularly fatigued by a number of visitors, and therefore I'm not just in tune with it at the moment. It's like someone else is using it, keeping it busy. So I'll have to just walk you through manually. And there are other things that are manual around here that can be changed or shaped with a touch." As if to emphasize, her hand rubs gently across your neck before parting contact. The smirk on her face is knowing but kind. She then proceeds further along the corridors, continuing her lecture, playing history teacher. "This place is haunted by the ghosts of what it was and what it can be. It's unattuned, it's a bit dimensionally unstable. And so, by leading you through the right pathways, it's like we turn a key in a lock. There's all sorts of locks around here, a lot of them inside people's heads, but they'll all open if you caress them just right. And that's why we're here. Now, you do have to stay on your guard. I'm used to it, but this place has a soporific quality. I mentioned before that the maze, the plants, they don't like to let people go." She turns, that fanged smirk emphasizing. "And of course, sometimes I don't like to let people go either. But I understand, you have things to get back to." The slight sing-song lilt in her voice is playful. She's smiling, she's cheerful. She's not openly attacking you. This seems a relatively safe place. That thought has a strange quality to it, perhaps, fuzzy around the edges, as if it were arriving as part of some other thought, but it got cut off halfway. This is a safe place, and she is walking you along. You notice a faint haze around her, and then one of the walls nearby fades away. "Before I let you go, I feel obligated to show you around and warn you of some of the other dangers here. I couldn't just let you go out into that world without better arming yourself. After all, there are creatures out there, huge, dangerous, monstrous, nothing like little old me. And this place here is, well, I said it likes to keep people. That's because it's a place of stasis, a relative safety zone if you have the right guide. Therefore, I can show you around, give you warnings, and let you go back to wherever you came from with the knowledge that you're better prepared for the horrific dangers lurking in the land of Marath. Creatures waiting to enslave, demons waiting to feed. It's quite terrible out there. And here we are." What opens beyond the pathway ahead is A wide, circular space in the maze. Vines lurk from every edge. They encircle women and men in the throes of passion, moaning or gasping. But you can barely see them, just their heads, the flowers and vines beneath servicing them. Every now and then, a particularly breast-like flower will lower itself from the upper echelons of the maze and teasingly allow one of them to drink, which often brings a dazed expression to the eyes, but that's the only nourishment they're getting. Seraph continues. This particular place is somewhere even I can't enter. If I went in there, inevitably the concentration of corruption would grab even me, and I would have a hard time teleporting out. This is where those who truly surrender to the maze enter communion with it. They have occasional misgivings, occasional desires to escape, but whether it does it one way or another, this place gradually mutes that, causes your mind to take up residence, your body too. A strong will can resist, but, well, I'm sure you have a strong will. Inevitably, the resistance is lessened if you find yourself dependent on it. The more attractive this place seems to you, the longer you want to stay here. There's places like that out in the desert, too, more potent than this one. And you wouldn't believe some of the temptations, some of the well-enacted magical temptations out there. For example, those cursed earrings that I bottled away for your safety. Sorry, I thought nobody would go to the middle of the maze. You're quite the explorer, and I think you have a knack for getting yourself into trouble. You'd have to be pretty unlucky to find the middle of my maze that quickly when I was busy with other things. Did I say my maze? Oops. Well, it's just I come to think of this place as mine, you know? I'm here enough. And since I usually have control of it, it's not too difficult to shape how people enter and exit. But once they decide what to do when they get here, well. And the problem is that the unwary, the uninitiated, the outsider, might momentarily decide to do something and then find that turning back is quite impossible. Who you are when you get to the other end of the experience is often quite different. And what you want to do when you get there can be hard to predict. That's why the old adage that you can't make someone do something they don't want to do is a little bit of a lie. After all, a person can change what they want. Let's see. I think we turn right here. Yeah, it's just a little further. And you may have noticed at some point that the experience became much more like a drifting walk, like a pupil being walked around by their instructor. The image briefly flashes into your head of a dog walked around by their owner, but that isn't appropriate to this at all. After all, she's being friendly and simply leading you around. Sure, she's giving you useful advice, and that might be a lot like handing out a treat to the unwary adventurer. But she's doing this in a very companionable way, at least. Now, let's see. What else can I tell you? Well, I'm a little fatigued, but we can go back to trying to teach you how to manipulate this place later. After all, that'd be something you'd like, and it would be useful for you to know how to tap into it. Just remember what I said about how this maze offers temptations which seem like a good idea at first blush, but that once you accept them, they make you want to leave less and less, until eventually people just stay of their own will, or what they think is their own will. Even those who muster up the will to tear themselves away do tend to return to the pleasures so quickly that it becomes irrelevant. Anyway, follow me. This next turning up here will take us on the straightaway toward the exit. But first, let's stop. See here? And as she gestures, part of the maze shapes itself away, becoming a mossy bench, cobbled stone, and well-laid bricks around a burbling fountain. The magic is impressive, and perhaps you tell her so. Either way, your observation makes her smile, at least. And as she takes a seat and gestures you to sit beside her, you're brought to a bit of a crossroads. After all, this is rather like breaking bread with a demon or a stranger. There's a certain distance that one would like to observe, But at the same time, if you were to shun her at this point in the journey, that might be quite bothersome and might turn her away altogether. Your own suspicions and prejudices are worth setting aside, after all. She's been nothing but helpful and informative, giving you little quips about Maras' history, leading you. And she has been quite a pleasure to watch moving through her steps nimbly, sensuously, quite at ease in her surroundings. If there's anyone you should try to emulate, it's this figure eminently at home and masterful of her domain here in the corrupted land. And so, maybe with trepidation, maybe with eagerness, that seat is there for you to take. However, as you do, you'll realize it is the most comfortable chair in the world, that the seated stone bench is in some way enchanted to aid the weary traveler. She knows as much as well, and as she's sitting on it too, she remarks, this place is quite restful. You do have to be careful not to fall asleep or drift too deeply. Suggestibility is heightened by many substances here. Well, just to give you a list, La Bova makes people docile. A lust draft will make you ready to, engage in more lustful activities at any time. Equinium is for those of a horsey persuasion, although it will increase your vitality. And other traits. The demonic ichors, succubus drafts, incubus drafts, they're quite dangerous, although there are those out there who can make them safe even for one of your delectable, gentle persuasion. The words waft over you, as she runs through a descriptive and informative list that would help many people to avoid savoring what they don't wish to, and avoid the addictions equivalent with many of these substances. She seems every bit friendly, and her fingers are tented across her lap, legs crossed, although this does not entirely engender modesty in one dressed such as she. If you stay here and relax, then you can hear the thrum and beat of this place. Feel what it's really like. This maze, this structure, it's all really just a big beating chain encircling anyone who's here. A thing made of all the memories they've had in the past and all the needs and cravings that accompanied them. Everything has a particular flavor here. Not just here in this maze, but in this land, period. Here, things can be nurtured, allowed to grow. And her right hand snakes out and gently, curving along the side of your neck, roves its way up to your right temple, her body leaning slightly behind yours as if inspecting the back of your head. And if you look in the right way, you can see that this is a place where a lot of people would want to stay. But of course, I know you have things to do in the wider world. And that's why you can't really understand them. Can't really enter communion with the kind of power that would make a person want to stay here. And then her other hand reaches up, snakes along your neck, finds your other temple. But if you understood it, maybe you'd get why I'm here so much. Why they're here so much. And the gentle chuckle comes with a profound drowsiness. Surely it was social obligation that made you feel like you wanted to sit down, not some phantom lure, not some sense of being obliged to this nurturing, offering figure. But there's no way to tell for sure. And yet, it would seem rude to suddenly rise from the seat, to swat her hands away, to resist. And so, though at first you may be slightly uncomfortable in such close proximity, young as you are and exposed as you are, in this place, new to it, it might be problematic if you let her get too close. But all she's doing is rubbing her fingers in slow circles on your temples. There's nothing strange about that. And then you see that view of this place, as if you were zoomed out, as if you could see it all from above. But then the maze fades, your location on the bench fades, and what fades in is a kind of core of energy, and it is pulsing, like a chain. But it protects as much as it restrains. There's something to that. This place does have powerful defenses. Those walls couldn't be breached by anything you know of. What little bit you may know of magic could reveal their true nature. Powerful protective wards. And the dirt beneath is empowered with something that makes all manner of growing things more potent here. Yes, this is a place of nurturing and growth. And as she moves her fingers around and leans in, her whispered voice arrives at your ears, speaking quietly at first, as if scrabbling for a foothold, as if becoming more than mere words and becoming instead a physical exploratory thing, a kind of invasive presence. Perhaps part of you, this late in your fun, has the presence of mind to wonder who's been narrating in your head the entire time. Maybe the voice sounds a little familiar, but as if it were detached, a sculpting, shaping presence, connected to the one that is entraining you, tormenting you. Did I say torment? Only with pleasure. After all, that place is the most relaxing bench in the world. That little fountain burbles away your thoughts. And she does explain many things. Normally, I might have simply assaulted you with pleasure, might have simply sculpted you over time. But this seems so much simpler. After all, my power's been sapped by so many fools coming in here trying to invade the maze and breach my sanctum without permission. I like to wander, but I've had to hang close to home. And close to home is safer. It's a huge, dangerous world out there. I've had to be extremely subtle. My presence is enough to restrain most, to put their will on a chain. But right now, as long as I keep my fingers here, you're in communion with the essence of this place, which I have shaped and turned to my will. And you'll notice that the longer you think about the nature of the maze, the more your curiosity invites you to truly understand it, the more you'll see this is simply a place of subservience. It recognizes one master and gradually twists others. It is my trap, but also a safe place. Everyone here is fed, cared for. I would never dream of letting one of my possessions, one of my pets, fall out of my purview. I would never dream of simply giving someone away, of discarding them, without a very good reason, and certainly not without making sure that they would very much enjoy where they were going. Your enjoyment is fairly key. Now, what you enjoy can be modified. Modification is the nature of this place. I said that before, but you might have been too busy checking me out. Both physically and in the sense of being on your guard. The irony is, you were so close that it was hard to tell. And part of you wanted this to be a good place. A place where you could be safe. And you weren't wrong. It's just that to be safe here, you have to come under the cloak of my protection. And I know that you have to go out into the world. That you have an important goal. You must. Everybody who comes here seeking and doesn't immediately succumb has something to drag them back. But the thing about that is, I promise I will let you go do whatever it is that you need to do. I will release you into the world. But if you want to benefit from my protection when you're here, if you want to rely on this place, then you're going to have to make some small concessions. A little deal. For example, I could promise you safety. If you'd trade me, just a tiny amount of your resistance to certain ideas. Or if you take something from me, I will give you something else. For example, if you let my words have a particular effect on you, perhaps every time you heard me speak, you would experience a drifting, almost hypnotic pleasure. See, you're letting me give you pleasure. Now you may say that, well, that's ill-conducive to your goals here. But here, there are so few safe ways to relax. And I think you'll agree that I've been pleasant, if slightly duplicitous company. Therefore, if my words give you pleasure, doesn't that deal work out in your favor? Pleasure and relaxation remove stress, and stress hampers the body, inculcates the mind, makes it drowsy and sleepy. So, if I gave you the gift of feeling pleasure every time you heard my voice, maybe in exchange you could help me out with some of my chores around here. Or you could simply help me relieve my stress, yes. Stress for stress would be a fair bargain. And if I supplied you with food regularly, which of course would give you so much more free time for whatever important thing you need to do outside of here, then in exchange you could, help me out by occasionally tasting a meal or two of my design. Never mind what's in them. In exchange for not asking that, maybe I wouldn't require you to tell me your darkest secrets. And I'm sure there's some place or thing you'd want to keep secret. So in exchange for letting you keep those secrets, maybe you'll let me keep some and just go along with it, tasting this elixir or that food. And in order to make sure you didn't accidentally blurt out any secrets while you were briefly, hanging out here at my place, maybe I would make it so that while you're here, the only things you would say would be simplistic, unless I specifically gave you a question so narrow that you wouldn't accidentally blurt anything out. Little barks, or maybe just silence at appropriate times. In giving you that power, I'd be giving you a very potent gift indeed. So maybe I could give you others as well, and you could find something to trade for them. Maybe I could give you the gift of always being cloaked in eternal life while you're here, youth, and... Ooh, but this place already does that. So maybe... Well, there are certainly very long-lived people. Ooh, that's it. I could make you... very long for our mutual pleasure. I could explore all those little things, and after all, what is the body but simply cloaked in a kind of field that can be manipulated? What if I trailed my hands down like this and gently removed your ability to move your hands and arms, and instead directed them at my... let's get to that later. Her hands trail up and gently rub your temples, and then she carries on. You see it there, pulsing at the heart of this place, a chain. And what if you were out in the wild and suddenly stricken with amnesia? What if you were suddenly unable to remember your way back? I can't have that. So focus on that chain for me. See how it's fur-lined on the inside? Very comfortable to wear, I assure you, but very strong. And see how there's a little etching on the inside? Well, if you think of that, if you think of that word, my name, actually. I'm Seraph, nice to meet you. And you may think you knew that already, but then you'd wonder from where. And she smirks, and she carries on. If you think of that name and walk out into the distance, you'll find yourself here. See how useful that is? So you'll always be able to find your way home. In exchange for this useful possession, all I ask of you is that you wear it. And at that moment, perhaps a heaviness descends about your neck, and then a tightness, and then it's as if it's a second skin. You can't feel it at all, but you can feel her fingers massaging in slow circles, and how her voice echoes into your mind, suffused with pleasure, tingling, need. All of her little gifts manifesting, as the logic of how one gift intertwines with the next echoes in your brain. And every time you return here, maybe you'll remember this, again and again, and drive the gifts deeper. Your strong body in exchange for a simpler, more focused mind. See how both gifts benefit you? Or your mind being able to keep its secrets in exchange for the inability to accidentally speak them. See how both benefit you? Or knowledge of a safe place in exchange for a desire to stay in safe places, a refraining from taking too many risks, an enjoyment of this place, an inclination to not ask what's in your supper in exchange for limitless meals. I think that's pretty fair. It would be rude to inquire too deeply. You see how this all makes sense? And perhaps the darkest magic that she has is that it all makes sense. and making sense is no crime. Misgivings that you had before may fade away. After all, isn't everything that preceded that completely in the realm of the canny, the trustworthy? And then she looks over the collar and smirks, and she runs a fingernail along it, and what was a powerful magic chain becomes black leather. It's dog-like, but as one of her hands is still massaging your temple, it feels like thoughts are flowing upward through molasses, like your head is stuffed with cotton, warm, pleasurable. She smiles. See, that's a nice reminder. It'll let you return here. It'll even let you find your way in. We'll see if we have some things upstairs to make you a little more comfortable in other ways as well, to help you assume the persona. Oh, I've worked my magic. Speech might be difficult. Of course, if something were strictly necessary, you'd be able to say it to me. But right now, nothing is necessary. When she rises, the hands move away from your temples. And you might imagine that for a moment you can see glistening silvery strands of something fall from your temples. Thoughts, maybe? And fall around your collar. And form an only momentarily visible leash, which then vanishes. And when she walks, you would feel yourself being pulled along, if the urge were not so potent to rise and follow, and if your hands did not immediately fall by your sides. There might even be a strange urge to walk on hands and knees. After all, here in the safety of the sands, that kind of thing is much safer than risking tripping, walking ordinary. And that, well, that's more than enough. In fact, everything you need here might be more than enough. What point is there in going out in the wide world and being in danger? She's making all those trades with you, a simple merchant. And she did suggest that freedom would be so simple you'd just be able to leave. But when you think the word leave, you might remember that her voice gives such pleasure. And you might be looking forward to your evening meal. The castle rises up ahead. The hedge maze parts with a snap of her fingers. Her power restored. The day's catches deposited in that one square of wild maze that she truly can't touch. For it's fueled by those trapped within. And they're trapped of their own volition. All in all, you congratulate yourself for making a very shrewd bargain. The fact that you made it with a demon notwithstanding. Demons can't be all bad if they're as nice as this one. But yep, you sure got the edge over on her. All those benefits she's conveying. And then, perplexingly, the last thought in your own voice was that one. Because now, her words flow in, my words flow in, and your voice follows them. And really, isn't this the only voice a good pet really needs? And night falls over that place, and a quiet meal is consumed. And until we revisit, the you that is elsewhere knows no more, except the vivid, aching memory of that place, and the urge to return. Good job.